I am so sorry about yesterday. We finished that podcast and then I ate something and I was like, wow, I feel great. I should have eaten before we recorded.
Okay, so now we have to go back and listen to every episode and be like, okay, wait, is Erin going off the rails here? Because if she is, she's gonna need a muffin.
Needed a muffin.
And so today, are you nourished and feeling like you're a little
Yes.
more composed?
I have watered and fed and nourished and
Okay.
exercised. I'm feeling great.
But also, I like spicy Erin. I'm
Oh,
all for it.
that's about as bad as it gets. What's really great about my husband is he will still say, you know, on your worst day, you're still better than a lot of people on their best day, which is like the nicest compliment you could say. But I think he's just doing that almost like, you know, if you were feeding a lion, you'd be like, here's a little bit of meat. He's not going to be like, wow, you were cranky, because just in case, you know?
No, he knows. He knows the right things to say. You're like, oh, that's sweet. But what he's really saying is, how is this taken? Are you going to take this okay? Am I about to get my hand bit off as I feed her some meat?
Welcome to Get the Hell Out of Debt, the podcast. Your host, Erin Skye Kelly, is a multiple award-winning and best-selling author of the books Get the Hell Out of Debt and Naked Money Meetings. She's helped thousands of people pay off millions of dollars in consumer debt and build wealth, and she's passionate about helping you become financially free. She's joined by her lifelong best friend, and now yours, Carrie Blakeney. They talk about money, relationships, life, and you just never know what's going to come out of their mouths. Which is why this podcast has an explicit rating. Let's see what they're up to today.
Oh, goodness. Okay, we're going to talk about naked money meetings today. Some people who are brand new here to the Get the Hell Out of Debt podcast, we want to welcome you. And you're like, what's the difference between naked money meetings and get the hell out of debt? And we're so grateful you're here. We're so glad you're having money conversations and relationship conversations out in the open. We're creating a much more all-inclusive community when it comes to finances, because for so long through history, finances was a closed-door experience. You had to know the right people. You had to be of the right gender. You had to be of the right, you know, privilege. And now we're breaking down all of those walls and we're having those discussions out in the open. So we would call that a naked money meeting. But deeper than that, Naked Money Meetings is a book that I've written. It's the second book that I wrote. And it's really about the underlying things that are driving your money behaviors. So even though one of the reasons people get into debt is because they're spending more than they earn, oftentimes people know that they should not spend more than they earn. They end up in debt anyway. And so it's not simply a math situation. It can sometimes be really the unconscious money behaviors that are driving the bus. Just like we all know that we probably ought not to eat pizza 6 times a week, but there are people who walk among us who eat pizza 6 times a week and they're like, I wish I wasn't doing this, but I can't help putting pizza in my pie hole. There's an unconscious behavior that's like driven, that's so much deeper than what they're conscious of. And so what we do in the book Naked Money Meetings is we get down to the root of why that is. And so when you look at all of the different money behaviors that are out there, or all of the different sort of money stories, we would call them money blocks, things that actually block you from building wealth. There are 8 major money blocks.
And I have had most of them at one point in my life or another. But that totally can happen, right? Like they change and move. And as I grow and learn and in different stages of life, my money blocks, that's normal for them to change.
Well, you won't normally grow a new money block. It's not like that happens. It's just that as you heal certain money blocks, ones that are underneath that were deep, deep, deep underneath, they'll kind of reveal themselves. That's more what it is. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Well, I've healed a couple then and some other ones have popped up.
Okay. So let me just run through them quickly and then see if you can identify what your money block is. Now, if you've read the book Naked Money Meetings or you've done the online course for Naked Money Meetings, this is going to act as a review for you. So you're going to kind of assess yourself and see what your major money block right now might be. And your primary block, that's the one that you need to work on right now, in the moment, this week, this month kind of thing. And then as it heals, you may find, as Carrie was saying, other ones kind of pop up. Now, you do want to heal them all to the best of your ability. And really doing that helps you cultivate a wealthy mindset, which then helps you cultivate more wealth. But if right now you feel like, oh my gosh, I have all of them, that's okay. You're just going to choose one and you're going to focus on the one that you feel like you need to focus on right now. So for example, the lack block, that's one of the major money blocks. It's that feeling like I never have enough. It's also fear of running out of money. It's when you compare yourself with other people and how they're doing financially. It's kind of keeping a mental list of all of the things that you wish you could afford or the things you wish you could change. It's feeling like you're unable to even dream about your future because you have no idea how you're going to get there and everything feels overwhelming right now. It's feeling like you're just used to having very little money. And so that we would call that the lack block. Have you ever had that experience? Have you had a lack block before?
Yes, this was one of my big ones. When I first took the quiz online and then I went into the book and read all about it and I was just like, she's reading my soul right now.
I definitely had the lack block when it came to dating and I just ended up with the first person that came around. I was like, good enough for me. Anyway, there's a number of different ways we get rid of the lack block, but it has a lot to do with gratitude and abundance thinking. And of course, in the book, we go into the healing of the blocks in so much more detail. But I just think it's really important right now. You don't worry so much about how you're going to get rid of them. You just really have an awareness around, wow, this is really affecting me. Because noticing when and how it shows up is going to be important to you being able to flip and heal it in the future. The second block is the spend block. So this feels like you can't control your spending. Sometimes it's related to shopping, but sometimes it's also really about debt itself, meaning like feeling the urge to cash out investments, or if you even get, you know, a certain threshold of money together, like $5,000 in your account, you instantly then want to spend it. And this one has to do with something called a money blueprint. So everyone will have a financial blueprint or a financial thermostat, which means that let's say you make $80,000 a year, it is highly likely that in the next 5 years, your income is going to be around that range anyway. People hit this kind of threshold or this thermostat, and then they tend to stay there for the rest of their lives because the thought of going from 80 to 100,000 is so uncomfortable for people that oftentimes they self-sabotage to get back to the 80 grand. Or if they end up making $100,000 a year, they'll spend that extra 20. They'll waste it. They won't be able to tell you where it went because they're not used to having that money. They're not comfortable there. They haven't acclimatized to that new blueprint. So that's what the spend block is all about. You'll feel the urge to cash out investments to pay off debt. You will still feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck, no matter how much money you're earning. You know, you'll go to the store to purchase one thing, but you end up purchasing more sometimes out of this feeling of compulsion. You have a hard time saying no to yourself. If I were to ask you randomly what was in your bank account, you'd have no idea. So those are kind of some of the things that are related to having the spend block. And if anything resonates with you, this could be a block. And some people even have it so extreme that they feel like they're drunk or they're not thinking clearly when they're spending. Like that's how bad it can get. And obviously, if you have that block, it's blocking the flow of wealth to your life because you're not able to take money and let it compound for you or invest because you feel this need to get rid of it, either consciously or unconsciously. Then there's the worthiness block. This one I feel like is a common one also.
When the book first came out, there was a lot of people. And unfortunately, women, a lot of women that feel this. I don't know, it was enlightening, but also sad. I was just like, why do we do this to ourselves? Why is this something that we have?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because we weren't allowed to have our own bank accounts until the 1970s or a man's permission. I don't know. Just kidding. I don't mean to.
Oh, I don't know.
But the worthiness block is really about not feeling good enough to be wealthy. Like you don't deserve wealth. You put a lot of stress on yourself to do things perfectly. You struggle to ask for help. You might even struggle to keep promises to yourself. You look for external validation, but even then it doesn't last long. So even things like having a hard time speaking up in the moment when things happen can be related to a worthiness block. So it's a pretty big one. And I would say it's very common in women, as you say. Mm-hmm. The intelligence and skill block. Have you ever struggled with feeling not smart enough?
Because
Really?
Oh, I'm friends with you.
Yeah, but we all go to you for all the knowledge of all the things.
That's bull crap. You are the smart one.
That's not true. Well, and see, here we are now. We're having like that stupid woman comment. No, I'm not fat. You're fat. You're fat. I'm uglier than you. Like, that's what we're doing right now, which is shameful. It's shameful. I just assumed that you knew you were the smart one in the group.
I don't think I'm the smart one, but I love learning. And I think maybe I did have this block when I was younger, but I think this is something that I've worked through as I got older, that I'm just, I'm cool with where I am intelligence wise. Give me all the learning. And if I can, I want to hear from other people that are experts all the time.
Yeah, I would never have assumed you ever had this block, but the way you heal the intelligence and skill block is by getting curious, which is like one of the positions you live your life in, you know, the lens you look through life through. So the intelligence or skill block is feeling like you're not smart enough to be wealthy. So you really live in a when I, then I land. So I'm not smart enough to be wealthy. When I earn more money, then I'm going to budget. Like that's kind of your mentality. You always think of you have to get a certain amount of credentials or degrees or whatever before you even deserve anything. So it's a combination of that and being scared of looking foolish, because learning, of course, means failing. Learning means you don't know the thing yet. So sometimes people are often afraid of that position, or they're afraid of looking stupid. So they'll really avoid making major financial moves because they don't want to look stupid. So instead they look broke. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't look broke. They are broke.
Isn't that ridiculous that we would rather be broke? We would rather people know that we are broke even than look foolish trying to get rich.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I know. It's the human condition though, right? We always want to be in that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. The next block is the hard work block, which is in order to make money, you have to work really hard. And if it comes easy, it's not worth it. And I know so many people with this mentality, because I have so many friends who have parents that might've been immigrants or parents that worked three jobs in order to help kids get to a level higher than the parents did. And so that conditioned the children or people that I grew up with to really believe that financial success means that I have to work harder. And, you know, if I want to earn more money, I have to work more hours. If money comes into my life easily, there must be a catch. It's too good to be true. You know, when I work more hours, it seems my expenses go up. So it's almost even not worth it sometimes to work harder. Like there's that mentality wrapped in there too. And so it can be really detrimental to blocking wealth from your life because you're missing out on some of the cool things about wealth, which is the ability for it to compound because you're thinking you have to trade time for money.
I think this is something that's maybe like our parents' generation. I feel like that's a thing from that group of humans that are on the planet right now, where for sure my dad just always was like, I got to work hard to make money. I got to work hard to make money. And one of the things that I like that you teach the most is like, let's figure out how to make passive income. So there is money coming in while we are not working at all in this moment, that still the money bunnies are back there doing their thing. And money's coming in and we are not actively working on it all of the time.
Yeah. When money bunnies are banging, there's an initial exertion or output, but then the rest of it is let nature do its course.
Yeah.
So it's cool when you can really capitalize on leveraging your time in addition to your money. The next one is your stress block, which is the unconscious belief that money is stressful. And if you've ever felt like, or even maybe you've said it this week, well, I'm so stressed by money. Well, this is a block because money actually isn't stressful. You are the one who's stressed. Money doesn't care one way or another. Money doesn't have any feelings. And so when you're thinking about money constantly, or you are feeling financially disorganized, or you're feeling chaotic or overwhelmed financially, it can sometimes mean you have a stress block. And sometimes people will think, oh, if I could just start all over, it'd be easier. I wish somebody would take this away from me. But none of that is the solution. The solution is really leaning in and really dealing with money in a way that allows you to find joy in it. And that's the thing I think people are missing, especially people who are in debt, because debt itself is stressful. But when you can find fun ways to gamify and really make money part of your daily life, just like feeding yourself and having a shower and checking your money, and it's just like part of what you do every day, it can actually really remove the stress. So that's a really important one to heal.
This one helped, the book helped Nick with this particular block because he has the stress block when it comes to money. Any little thing that's over and above the budget just freaks him out. Like,
I have never seen your husband freak out ever. He is the most calm, easygoing guy.
He really is, but not when it comes to money. Not when it comes to money. Like, it's just something that is super stressful for him. He's worried about it a lot. And so the book helped him for sure work on this. He's still a work in progress, but we're getting there.
We all are. The procrastination block is the next money block. And underneath the procrastination block, because I know people are hard on themselves. They think, I procrastinate, I'm lazy. You know, we take this identity on that we're like somehow less than. But it's really ultimately being afraid of both success and failure. That's the thing that's holding you back. Sometimes you're afraid of one of those things, and sometimes you're afraid of both of those things, but you delay taking action on things that would bring you more income. And sometimes even out of perfectionism. Perfectionism and procrastination are so closely linked. You can feel paralyzed by indecision. You might be saying, I'll do it tomorrow. You'll file your taxes under a deadline or often late. You'll needlessly delay doing things and then later go, oh, that didn't take as long as I thought it would or whatever, right? Like all of those things compounded really block the flow of wealth to your life, because the earlier you start taking care of things, the more time you have really in the market to allow your money to compound, which can help bring wealth so much faster. Every single person listening to this right now wishes that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever, they started investing and started dealing with money so much earlier. Everybody does. So really allowing yourself that gift today to take care of this stuff now and heal this block now means that 15 years from now, you're going to be high five in your past self.
This one shows up for me because I tend to research the snot out of things before I will actually take action. And I use that as my excuse to not do something, is that I will be like, well, I have to look this up and learn everything I possibly can about it before I can move. And so that's something that you've taught me for sure, because you will just be like, okay, we're doing X, and then X is done.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm like, wait, Google has 75 hits that I have to read first in its entirety before I can move.
Yeah, but I had to train that in myself. I had to train myself to make decisions fast, because people think that they are one way or the other, but you can absolutely condition a new pattern anytime you want. And I was like that too. I would just get paralyzed and I'd be worried about making the wrong choice or worried about disappointing somebody or all those things. And now what I've learned is like making a decision quickly means that if I have to change the decision because I made a wrong one, I can still do both of those things in less time than it took me to make a decision when I was overthinking it. There's a secret. There's a note there. And I watch, you know, wealthy friends, they make decisions quickly. And I was like, oh, I think there's something to this, like being able to be decisive. Then there's the money guilt block. This one people think, oh, I don't have this one. And then you dig into it and they're like, oh my gosh, I really have this one. So this is feeling guilty when you have money and other people, especially ones you know, are struggling. Maybe you feel like it's greedy or unfair. You might also be trying to give a lot, like you're pouring from an empty cup constantly. So you don't actually have your own financial house in order, but you're busy saving for your kids' college when you don't have your own retirement put together, or you're giving to your sister when you can't make rent money yourself. So this one is, you know, one of those ones that we've conditioned ourselves to think that it's noble to feel guilty about something, but put ourselves in a terrible position. But then we justify the bad decision by allowing ourselves to feel guilt. So it turns out this is a very, very selfish emotion, because it makes you think,
we're helping other people. We're helping others.
But you make it about you. Like, I feel guilty about this. Oh, I feel bad. Right. And so you're not actually helping, because you're not in a position of abundance. You're coming at everything from a position of lack, but then you're allowing yourself to feel guilty, like you're some martyr or something. And it's nonsense. It's not going to bring you more wealth. Feeling guilty does not make you wealthy. Doing things that make you wealthy and putting yourself in a position of abundance where you can actually take action and give to other people, that's the secret sauce.
This list, going through these again, I realized that I've got some more work to do here.
We all have lots of work to do. I have an extensive online course. If you really wanted to dig in, you can look at the show notes. It's my most comprehensive course. It's definitely a course that's a wealth builder. So if you're in the Get the Hell Out of Debt program and you're in phase two and you're currently paying off debt, it might not be for you, though some people have made it work in their budget so that they can rapidly accelerate the way they're doing things. Because really what this does is, as you work through these money blocks, and of course you can get the audiobook and I'll read it to you every day in your car or on your run or whatever. But if you do the online course, it comes with this massive comprehensive workbook. And it really allows you to work through each of these blocks one by one. And what's great about it is then when you notice them showing up again, or you catch yourself, you're like, ah, now you can make that new decision. You can change that pattern, which you might not have done before you had the awareness. So if you want to learn more, that's how. But in the meantime, you can go to the quiz at nakedmoneymeetings.com, figure out what your money block is, figure out what your partner's money block is. And if you have a partner, learn how to communicate better about money so that you both can become financially free and on the same page.
And if you're just going on a first date, you message them on Tinder and send them the quiz. Can you imagine? That'd be amazing. You'd have so much to talk about on that first date if people actually did that.
It would be way better talking about that than your exes.
Any of the free resources mentioned in this podcast can be found at getthehelloutofdebt.com. Erin's books, Get the Hell Out of Debt, and Naked Money Meetings can be found at your favorite bookstores. This podcast has been created for edutainment. to educate and entertain you for your personal financial journey. As always, you are advised to seek professional, personal financial counsel for your unique money circumstances. Thank you for being here. This podcast is created by AaronSkyKelly.com. It's managed by Carrie Blakeney. You can contact us at assistant@AaronSkyKelly.com.